hear some mumbling about 12 verses over there. We went on a raging pace last week and got through 12 verses. We're actually going to get a little further tonight, okay? Let me read through those 12 verses without explaining them, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, we talked about last week Genesis being the book of beginnings and these cycles that we're seeing, evening and day. We already have the rotation of the earth. We have day and we have evening. And we see different things being created, bringing about their own seed of their own kind, the Word of God says. And we talked about that a little bit in that you plant a corn seed and what do you get? Corn, right? You plant a wheat seed, it brings forth wheat. We don't have inner mutations or evolution within species as we see things bringing forth their own kind. In verse 14, where we're picking up, it says, "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth.' And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." Those are big deals. The sun he gave to light the day. The moon he gave to light the night. And then, as almost as an afterthought, he made the stars also, it says. Even if you guys think about the magnitude of that, the position of the sun, the distance from the earth, if it were closer, we'd burn up. If it was any further away, we'd freeze, right? If we're tilted on our axis, if that tilt was different, we wouldn't have the seasons that we have in our rotations. And then the stars, it used to be believed that there was about 5,000 stars, and that if you sat there and tried to count by eye, and now they say they're innumerable, that they can't be numbered, is what I'm trying to say, because of the magnitude and the galaxies that we can't see with the naked eye. But in here, in creation, it just says, "And he made the stars also." Verse 17 says, "God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day." We use the heat for sun, like I mentioned, the seasons, but the stars are used to navigate. What else do we use stars for?
Seasons.
Seasons, yeah. You can see different constellations in different seasons, right? I don't know if you guys, anybody saw recently on YouTube, they had different, who was the doctor that did that? Do you remember what his name was? Bovine, can't remember. Anyways, he was recording the sounds that the stars make in praise. I think you mentioned it to me the other night. You had seen something on that. So, verse 20 says, "Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." He must have held off on mosquitoes if he's still saying it's good. "But every creeping thing, the bugs, the variety within bugs and beetles," I think there's 100 different varieties of beetles within that species, but we don't see a beetle becoming a mouse, you know. There's several things evolution can't answer. One is the sexes. The difference between the sexes has never been answered in that. And kinds becoming other kinds. You don't see that even in the fossil records. We talked last week also about some teach these days as being literal days. I believe they're literal days. I talked about that going to Exodus and the Lord saying it was created in 6 days and then he rested on the seventh. And some say that they're 1,000 years. We also talked about things were made in existence, in process. Trees were made trees, not just seeds and then grew to seeds. Apple trees were made and gave fruit of their own kind. Fish, birds were made. Species that migrate. How would the first one know where to go? You know, or even now we see species that birds are born, baby birds are born, and the parents of those birds leave weeks before the babies do. And they've never been there, but they go back to the same place in the winter that the parents do, because that's how they're created. Also, another indication as to my belief that these are six literal days is you see the trees, the plants being created. And then after that, you see the creeping things, the bugs, the bees that would pollinate those things. Or after that, how would they live? How would they continue on if it was 1,000 years in between? As we go through all this, notice that God each day looks at his creation and says it is good, recognizes it that is a positive thing. We see a change to that as we go on here. Verse 26, did I read 25? Okay. 26, then God said, Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That's the second aspect of the Trinity that we see already in the very first chapter of the Bible. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Gave dominion, gave rule, control, authority over the animals and over every living thing. Also gave responsibility to rule them well, to take care of our environment, to take care of the animals and creeping things. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So if you want to know something about God, you can look to yourself. We're made in his image. We've never seen God, but this is the closest that we get living in this generation. Was talking to somebody today that was distantly connected to a suicide. And several of you have dealt with that issue. It's certainly horrible and tragic. A lot of times in the church, something that we don't talk about is depression, and that people deal with that, and that's a real thing. When we look to this, we see in verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. If you turn to the very last book in the Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Why did he create us? Why did he create us in his image? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Does anybody have a King James here?
Yes.
Anybody else? You don't have it with you, right?
Nope.
Okay.
I can recite it.
Okay, hold on just a minute. Verse 11, the last verse of that.
The second part, "Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure."
For thy pleasure. I like that better. It says, "For you have created all things and for thy pleasure." It means we're created, that's our purpose, for the pleasure of God. Our purpose is to please our Maker, please our Creator. So when we look at our lives, when we look at our self-esteem, self-worth, that's one of the things we can measure. Are we living a life that's pleasing to our Creator? Or are we living a life that's pleasing to ourselves? Are we our own Lord? Are we our own boss? If you're not living a life that's pleasing to your Creator, you're living out of your design, different than what you've been made for. That's why, like, you put diesel fuel in a gasoline engine and it just doesn't run right. Or you put undo some spark plug wires and it's not running as it's designed. It's not functioning like it's supposed to. And we're the same way if we're not living for our Creator, if we're not pleasing our Creator. What are the kinds of things that we do to make our lives pleasing to the Creator? Fellowship with the saints, reading His Word, right? Spending time in His Word. And I don't just mean preparing for Bible studies, you know, or preparing a lesson, but spending time just reading His Word, hearing from His voice. That's one of the ways that He communicates to us, speaks to us. Spending time in prayer, not just with a wanted list, you know, but listening and hearing from our Father. So we're made in the image of God. He created us for His pleasure. Verse 28, back in Genesis 1. Says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food.' And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Everything was very good. So apparently, according to this, we started out vegetarians. So I know some of you want to maybe convert to a different religion at this point, but that all changed, you'll see, after the flood. We became carnivores. So chapter 2, already way beyond the 12 verses we did last week. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now understand, this is not a, I'm wiped out. I created the world and all these people and all these things and I'm just beat. This was a accomplished rest and rejoicing in what he had made. God blessed the seventh day, verse 3, and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, some people get confused between chapters 1 and chapter 2 saying this is different and are these two different creation stories, but chapter 2 sort of goes back and fills in the details on chapter 1. It adds to it. Verse 5. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, let me start back with 4. This is the history of the heavens and earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So up until this point, it hadn't rained. There was a covering of water, it says. A mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And in verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. If you look at the elements that we're made of physically, it's the same as dirt. But today I was looking at a copy machine in our office. It was broke. And I was looking at all the intricacy of the design in there, the copper coils and the little, whatever they're called, you know, electronics guy. Circuitry boards, right? Stuff. There was stuff in there. And the copy guy was there, and I said, man, isn't that amazing how that just evolved? You know, Bill, you need to chill, man. Isn't that amazing how that just evolved? It became a copy machine. You know, how much more intricate our bodies are. If you ask scientists today how many cells are in the human bodies, you won't get a definitive answer. They'll say somewhere between 60 and 90 trillion cells in the human body. I probably have a couple more than some of you. But if you lined them up, they say it would go around the globe 4.5 times, the cells that are made up in our body. We did not evolve, suffice it to say. And you guys know from science class, you guys know, some of you probably remember, the first and second laws of thermodynamics. Also talk about how things degrade and decline over time. And we think back to our ancestors and we think, oh, we're so much smarter now. You know, we've gained so much in knowledge. But if you look back historically, there's things like different forms of brass that they found, they believe to have been before the flood period, that we can't duplicate today. We have no idea how they were able to produce that. Personally, I think Adam was the genius, you know, the smartest, most intelligent creature ever. Embalming Egyptians, by far superior technology to us. They knew things that we just don't know. So we have not gotten smarter over time. Verse 7, again, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, how he breathed his breath into the nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living being. He joined together spirit and matter. And a living soul was created. Spirit, soul, and matter. A reflection of the Trinity. Verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight. and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. The name of the first is Pishon. It was the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." And did you get that? Every day of creation, everything that the Lord made, it is good. It is good. It is good. But the Lord God looks and sees man alone and says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, verse 19, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now imagine this. Adam is standing there alone, a man, and the Lord brings these animals to him. And he sees two of each kind, right? And he starts naming them. Mr. and Mrs. Horse, and Mr. and Mrs. Ostrich, and Mr. and Mrs. Orangutan. And what part during the day do you think Adam suddenly realized, what's missing here? It's just Adam. You know, I'm sure the Lord put him through that process to allow him to recognize his need for a woman, for a spouse. So he gives names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. I did a wedding a little while ago, and I used this reference in there because this really was the first wedding. This was the Lord presenting his daughter to Adam to marry this man. He made her into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, "Now, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they both were naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." As we get into chapter 3, we will see the temptation and fall of man. And towards the end, we'll see the beginnings of redemption in that. So we will pick up in chapter 3 next week. I want to pray for...